Well, good morning.
Good to see everyone this morning. If you have your Bibles, if you would turn to Hebrews chapter 11, we'll read verse 1. We're talking about faith, and faith is, of course, a gift from God. Everything's a gift from God, isn't it? Everything that we have. And, of course, this is called the faith chapter. And it talks about a lot of people in this chapter and in their faith. And so we want to try to talk about, and we started the last time, seems like a couple of weeks ago, to give a definition of what faith is. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I hope that I can be a blessing to you this morning and to the Lord. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, I thank you for the privilege to serve you, to be able to share your word. And I confess, without Christ, I can do nothing. And I pray for the leadership of the Holy Spirit. God, that you would guide my tongue, give me the words to say. And I pray that we will have ears to hear, that we will receive the word of God, not only in our physical ear, but spiritually. We will hear what the word of God is saying to our hearts. And Father, may you be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we know that faith is trust. It's what we believe. We trust the word of God, that the word of God is accurate, that the word of God is true. By faith, we receive the promises of God. By faith, we walk with God. And of course, in verse 6 of this chapter, it says, without faith, we cannot please God. And we have to believe that God is who he says he is, that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And so, of course, we believe all of the word of God and trust all of the word of God. We talked about substance. It's a word that means the undergirding. And I took it to mean the foundation. What is the foundation of our faith? Of course, it's trust and belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's what we believe about him. We're saved by grace through faith because we take God at his word, that if we repent of our sins and if we put our faith in him, he says, thou shall be saved. Not maybe, not hopefully, not if everything works out, but if you believe the word of God, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, he says, thou shall be saved. With God, that's kind of an absolute. When he says, this shall happen. So I thank God for that foundation that we have. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul says, as a wise master builder, he's laid the foundation. That foundation is Christ. He is the rock upon which we have built our lives. He is the one that is the chief cornerstone of the church. And of course, he's the head of the church. He's the one that we put our trust in and believe in. The Apostle Paul talked about, you know, this faith of being persuaded. He said he was fully persuaded in that which he had committed unto Christ, that Christ was going to keep it to the end. So he was persuaded of the truth in Christ. He was absolutely convinced of the truth of God's word and of the promises of God. 1 Peter 1:5 says, we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So God is keeping us by his power, and we believe that. I can't save myself, neither can you. We can't keep ourselves saved. Only God can do that. You know, none of us are worthy of salvation. And this faith that we have, the Apostle Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but the life that I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I believe that's, I want to say Galatians 2:20. So it is this faith, and it's the faith of Christ. You know, my faith is weak, but his faith is strong. So the life that I'm living in the flesh, I'm living by the faith of the Son of God, by the faith of Jesus Christ. You know, he lives in us, amen? Isn't that what the Word of God says? Jesus said, I'm going away. But when I go away, I won't leave you comfortless. I'm going to send another, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. And he will come in you, and he's called the Comforter. He'll comfort you and encourage you. He'll teach you, and he'll guide you, and he'll lead you if you'll trust in the Holy Spirit of God. Probably part of our problem is we don't always walk by faith. And you know, we could grieve the Holy Spirit. I've done that. We could quench the Holy Spirit. I've done that. We can resist the Holy Spirit. I've done that. But yet God still loves us. We still, you know, if you're a child of God, you know, when you're born again, you can't get unborn. When you're born again into the family of God and you've received Christ as your Savior, he's given us that promise. We belong to him. It says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the children of God. And the Spirit of God speaks to our hearts, and we can cry out, Abba, Father, we're part of the family of God. We've been bought with a price. We're not our own. We belong to him. And nothing can change that. You know, there are some that believe you can lose your salvation. Well, we don't believe that. We believe that we're in Christ. That confidence we have, what is it in, Philippians 1:6, I believe it is, that we have this confidence that he which has begun a good work in us will perform it unto the day of the Lord Jesus. He's keeping us saved, and we're not saving ourselves. So we're fully persuaded. We have firm confidence, as Paul said, to be absent from the body, he says, is to be present with the Lord. And you remember in one place he said, I'm between two things, whether to depart and be with the Lord, which is far better. But yet he said to those believers, to remain and to be with you, it's better for you. And at that time, he knew that he was going to remain and he was going to continue for a while. But it's far better to be absent from this body and to be present with the Lord. He said to the thief on the cross, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. I've been working on a message on Lazarus and the rich man, and thinking about that whole concept of where Jesus went when he went to the cross and what happened. But that's for another time. But he said, today, what a confidence. You will be with me in paradise. And so when we die, in Ezekiel chapter 12, it says, when we die, what happens? The spirit goes back to God who gave it. And God determines by our faith in Christ whether we're going to heaven or we're going to hell. So we're fully persuaded, as Paul said. We have firm confidence. We're built on a foundation, and that foundation is Christ. And actually, when we think of Christ, when we look at this Bible, this is God's word. Do you believe that? Amen. I'm preaching out of the King James, by the way. The old saying, it was good enough for Paul and Peter, it's good enough for me. Amen. In Matthew chapter 7, and as well as in Luke's gospel, Jesus said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and he does them, I will liken him to a man that builds his house on a rock. You hear the word of God, and you obey the word of God. You say, I'm going to follow the word of God. He said, he's like a man that builds his house on a rock. And when the winds come and the storms come, and the wind and everything is beating it against it, he says, that house will stand if you're basing your life on the truth of the Word of God. I've been accused of worshiping the Bible. They say, you Bible thumpers, you worship the Bible. No, I worship the God of the Bible, but this Word is His Word. This is the foundation. How did you hear the gospel? Were you walking down the road and a dog came up to you and said, hey, by the way, if you'll put your faith in Christ, you'll be saved? No, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Thank God for preachers that are preaching the word of God. All preachers are not preaching the word of God. So thank God that you're in a church and that you heard the word of God. And Paul said, after you heard the gospel of your salvation, you heard the gospel and you believed and you trusted. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You belong to God. You're sealed. You have his seal upon you. You belong to him. Aren't you glad of that? There's not anything that I can do to cause me to lose my salvation. Yes, I may suffer consequences. There's consequences for sin. But I'm saved. I'm in the hand of God, and no one Nothing can pluck me out. Nothing that I can do can pluck me out of the hand of God. I belong to Him. And He reminds us, you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. We're to walk worthy of the calling wherein we've been called, Paul said in Ephesians. Walk worthy of that calling, that vocation. That word vocation actually means calling. Walk worthy of the call. You've been called out of the world, ecclesia, to be a part of the family of God. Walk worthy of that calling. And we fall short, but that ought to be our goal. I got a lot of other things I want to say, but I want you to turn real quick to Luke. Luke chapter 17. And I want to read something to you. And hopefully it'll cause us to think a little bit. Luke chapter 17, Jesus is speaking to the disciples. And in verse 5, the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say to this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. But which of you having a servant plowing or feeding cattle will say unto him by and by when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat. And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Doth he think that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I thought not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all these things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. And in the first part of this here passage, he's talking about forgiveness, being willing to forgive when others have done things to you. The point I want you to see is if you only do what you're supposed to do, you're an unprofitable servant. They said, increase our faith. He says, you want your faith to increase? Then do beyond what you're supposed to do. Don't just do what you say. Well, you know what? I read my Bible this morning. Great. You prayed this morning. Great. You ought to do that. I'm coming to church this morning. Great. You ought to do that. Well, what do you do when you go out of here? Are you a servant? Do you put others before yourself? Are you concerned about others? Do you try to tell somebody about Jesus? Do you give out a gospel tract? If you're only doing what you're supposed to do, you're an unprofitable servant. And we need to ask ourselves this morning, am I profitable? Am I just doing what's expected? Faith says I'm going to go beyond what is expected. Not by our own strength, but by the grace of God and with God's help. We can't do anything without Christ. We can't witness without Christ. We can't understand the Word of God without Christ. We can't pray without Christ. We can't do anything. But he says, go beyond that. Lord, what can I do? You know, I think of our missionaries. Our brother here sitting in over 30 years in Argentina. Our missionaries go beyond what is expected. We're all called to preach the gospel to every creature. We're all called to witness and to do that. But I think of our missionaries, they're special people. They have went beyond what is expected. Like Isaiah said, Lord, here am I, send me. Is there a willingness on our part to go wherever God would send us? Is there a willingness to get out of our comfort zone? I know a lot of people will say, I have a lot of trouble in witnessing. We all do. It doesn't come naturally. It's the Spirit of God in us. But, you know, God's not giving us the spirit of fear, but of power and love, sound mind. God will give us the strength that we need. Paul said, I've learned that in my infirmities, that when God's grace comes, it's sufficient. He said, I will glory in my infirmities that the grace of God might rest upon me. And we need that. We need the grace of God. So, Lord, I want my faith to grow. Then he says, go beyond what is expected. Don't just do what is expected, although we all ought to do that. Jesus said, those that hear my word and they obey my word, they're like those that have built their house on a rock. But likewise, the one that hears my word and he does not do it, and when the storms come and the winds come, what's going to happen? That house is going to fall. Sometimes the troubles in our life are because we're not operating in faith. We're not operating by the Word of God. Either the Bible is the Word of God or it's not. From Genesis to Revelation. We don't have to understand it all, but it is our duty to obey it when God gives us understanding. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's part of faith. It's just obeying the Lord. James says, don't say I'm going here or there, but if the Lord wills. God wants us to know his will. He's told us in several places in Romans chapter 12 and Ephesians chapter 5 that we can know the will of God, that we can understand the will of God for our lives. And God wants us to walk. He says, be ye perfect, be ye complete as your Father in heaven is perfect. We all fall short, but that doesn't excuse us. We need to get up. You know, I like it. The proverb says a righteous man falls 7 times. He doesn't stay down, does he? He gets up. I tell you, if you're like me, you probably fall every day. You have a thought, something you know is wrong and it's sin. The Bible says anything that is not of faith is sin. Anything that is not of faith is sin. So when we eat in faith. That's why we pray and ask God to bless the food. Thank you, Father, for the food. We wake up in the morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I used to be able to get up and spring out of bed. Not so much anymore. But thank God I could still get up and get going and get moving, right? This air we breathe, didn't God provide it? The sun shines. This world keeps turning and God just has, you know, when I go out and I run, I don't run as much as I should, but I say, Lord, keep this heart pumping. I'm trying to think of what it is I have in my feet. The words not coming to me right, but I get that numbness in my feet. Neuropathy, thank you. And I say, Lord, keep the blood pumping because these toes need it. Lord, keep these lungs providing the air that I need because I need it. And I'd look around and as I'm running and I say, Lord, you have everything in perfect working order. It works exactly like it's supposed to. The earth keeps spinning and the sun comes up and the sun goes down. Lord, help my body to operate like that. Just like you keep everything running. So when we get up, we have to be thankful. You know, when you're younger and in shape, it's easy to take those things for granted, isn't it? Amen. I got a lot to say. I'm not going to get to it, but I want to say this. Why should we believe the word of God? Psalm 119 in verse 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Psalm 100 and verse 5, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Psalm 12, verses 6 and 7, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them, from this generation and forever. Psalm 19, verse 7 and 8. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Psalm 30, or Proverbs 30 and verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. 1 Peter 1, 23 and 25. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Over and over it tells us that the word of God is exactly that, God's word. 1 Peter 1, 7, even though he says we're kept by the power of God unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You know, he talks about faith as the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of that things not seen. Let me read Romans 8, 24. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. So the evidence of faith is the fact that we have hope. And in that hope, we're waiting for the fulfillment of the promises of God. I'm saved, but I've not yet received what I would call eternal salvation, a new body, and the eradication of sin. And in hope, we're waiting for that. But he says, while you're here, The trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perishes. So our faith is going to be tried. Our faith is going to be put on trial. Is it real? Though it be, it says, tried with fire, that our faith might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. We're all waiting to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. I think about myself, and we would like to hear that, and because God is so merciful and kind, I think he'll say about me, well, he tried, because we fall so short. But our faith is tried as though by fire. It means it's going to be difficult. You know, it says in 1 Corinthians 3, when we build on the foundation, be careful how you build. Hay, wood, and stubble will be burned up. But if it's gold, silver, precious stone, it's going to survive. And it talks about the fire. I think in Revelation chapter 1, he has eyes of fire. I think when Christ looks at us, in all that we've done that is wrong, of course, the blood of Christ cleanses us. But it's going to be tried as though by fire. And yet, if we sin, we could lose reward. But yet that soul will be saved as though by fire. He'll save us. But I'm just thinking the gaze of Christ. When we stand before him and or kneel before him and look at him. But look at what the rest of this verse says. Whom having not seen, you love. And whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. And the end of the faith is, of course, is that eternal life in the kingdom of God and that new body and all that is going to take place. We know eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man things that God has prepared for those that love him, 1 Corinthians 2:9, which he repeats from the book of Isaiah. And you know, we can't fully comprehend what it's going to be like. I see Jesus in my mind's eye. The apostles saw him. And in John 17, the high priestly prayer of Jesus, he said to the disciples, you know, you believe. You've been with me. You have seen me. But he talked about blessing those who have never seen. That's us. We didn't walk with Jesus in the flesh. We didn't see Jesus in the flesh. Yet we believe. Why do we believe? We believe the word of God is true. We believe the testimony of Christ is true. We believe all that he did is true. The miracles that he did, that is true. His teachings are true. And when he said unto you, I give you eternal life and you shall never perish. In John 10, we believe that. He said, I give you eternal life. And you will never perish. By faith, we believe that. It's because it's what the Word of God teaches. Hope that by two immutable things in which was impossible for God to lie, in Hebrews chapter 6, we might have a strong consolation. Who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Two immutable things. God made a promise and God cannot lie. God said, if I told you I'm going to give you eternal life and you have hope, then you do. And so it says we want to lay hold on that hope. That hope that all that God said is true, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. In Ephesians 1:18, that you might know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of his glory and the inheritance that we have in the saints who have trusted in God. We have a hope that is steadfast and sure. We have a hope that's not based on circumstances. We have a hope that is based on the Word of God and on the words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. A hope that cannot fail. A hope that is an enduring hope. A lasting hope. And every day when we can wake up, we can praise God that we have this hope within us. It's not something we can conjure up. It's not something we can manufacture. To me, hope as a believer, it's like oxygen. You can't live without oxygen. And as a believer, we can't live without hope. Aren't you glad that when you fail, when you sin, that God still loves you? He doesn't take away that hope. Oh, you messed up today. No. We're in Him. When we believed, we were baptized into Christ. We were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And we belong to Him. Faith, the substance, the foundation, the Word of God, and things hoped for, things not seen. What kind of evidence is there? Well, you know, the greatest evidence is a testimony of a new life. The Apostle Paul said it's neither circumcision nor uncircumcision that avails anything, but a new creature in Christ. When you're saved, there's evidence of a changed life. People can look at you and know that you're different. Now, a lot of you were saved as children, and praise God for that. I was in the world till I was 33 years old, living like the world. Jesus said through the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 2, such were some of you. You were led by the prince of the power of the air and all of the things that we did. You were like that, but you've been redeemed. You've been washed, as it says in Ephesians 1. Redeemed, and we've been made acceptable to God in His beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we thank God that we have this redemption, that we have this hope, and that we're in Him, and that He's keeping us by His mighty power. So there's the evidence of a changed life. Am I all that I want to be? No, and neither are you. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But He said, I write these things unto you that you sin not. Don't sin. I've been guilty of using the grace of God as a license for sin in my life. It's easy to say, Lord, the scriptures say in Romans chapter 5 at the end, where grace does abound, or where sin does abound, grace does much more abound. What then? Shall we sin that grace may abound? God forbid. But it's easy to say when I sin, God, your grace is greater than my sin, and it is. And your blood is efficacious no matter what. It'll wash away my sin. I've been washed in the blood of Christ, but God, forgive me. The Bible talks about turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, using it as a right to sin. No, we quickly have to go to the Lord. Say, Lord, I've sinned. Forgive me. He says, if you will confess your sin, I'm faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Isn't it good to know you can start every day fresh? Start looking to the Lord and praising the Lord, asking God, lead me today. Teach me today. Help me to walk by faith and not by sight. So there's an evidence of a changed life. But what is that changed life based on? It's based on an empty tomb. They said, he's not here. He's risen. They went looking for him. He's not here. He's risen. We have a risen Savior. And he's in the world today. I know that he's living, no matter what men may say and the scoffers and the mockers come. And they say, where's the promise of his coming? He's coming. I don't know when he's coming, but he's coming. Because he cannot lie. And he said to the disciples, I'm going away. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you so. And I go to prepare a place for you. He's preparing a place for you and me, a mansion. We don't deserve it, but he's doing that. He's preparing a place for us. So we believe the word of God. There's an empty tomb. There's the promises of a risen Savior. Yes, he went to the cross and he died. And he was buried according to the scriptures, 1 Corinthians 15, the gospel. You remember the two disciples on the road to Emmaus? Jesus said to them, well, why are you so cast down? Why are you so sad? They said, don't you know? Haven't you heard? Are you new in these parts? The one that we had trusted and believed to be the Redeemer of Israel, he's dead. He's dead. Oh, what sorrow filled their hearts. Their hope was gone, it seemed. And as Jesus walked along with them on the road to Emmaus, I can only imagine that conversation. He said he began with Moses. He shared everything concerning himself. Can you imagine what they heard? Do you remember Abraham was going to sacrifice his son? That ram caught in the thicket? That was me. You remember when Moses saw the burning bush and the angel spoke to him out of that bush, said, take your shoes from off your feet for you're on holy ground? That was me. And he went all through the Bible, and he shared with them, this was me. They said, did not our hearts burn within us? You see, when we hear fresh from the Lord, from the Holy Spirit, it burns within our heart. You know, when I was growing up, we had a big coffee or big Bible on the coffee table. And my dad bought it from a Bible salesman in the tavern, of all places. But it was there. We never read it. Never read it. All I could remember from being a kid was we went to Elam Baptist Church and had a big writing up on the wall, John 3:16. And I remembered that verse. But when I got saved, I thought, I'm totally ignorant of the Word of God. I have no idea what the Word of God says. And I tell you, God stirred me. He stirs you. I want to know what the Bible says. I don't want to know what men say. I want to know what the Bible says. I think for the first year I was saved, I never looked at a commentary. I didn't care what others thought. I wanted to know what the Word of God said. And I tell you, your heart burns within you as you begin to read the Word of God. And you read of all of the everything that God did and all of the miracles. And it's so exciting. It's so wonderful. I believe in a miracle-working God. The day you were saved, the day I was saved, that's a miracle. That's a miracle of God that he could take a wretched sinner like us and he could make us brand new, a new creature in Christ. That's a work of God. There's the evidence of an empty tomb and a changed life. There's the evidence of millions of people that were willing to die. Most of them put to death by the Catholic Church and others. They wouldn't die for a lie. A few people would. You always have a few fanatics that are willing to give their life for a lie. But would millions die for a lie? Paul preached that he's resurrected. Oh, King Agrippa, you understand and you know this. Why would you think it a strange thing that I preach the resurrection from the dead? You believe in it. Paul, thou almost persuadest me to be a Christian. Oh, King Agrippa, that you would be as I am, except for these chains. The resurrection of Christ, that's why they died, because they believed the Bible. In 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul said he was seen as Cephas, and then of the other apostles. And then he said of me, an apostle born out of due time. And over 500 witnesses were alive then that had seen the risen Christ. Cephas said, this man Jesus, if one dared to call him a man, he realized there was something. I'm not saying Josephus was a believer, but he realized there's something about this Christ. And he said he was crucified, but he was seen alive by his disciples. There were others in the Roman Empire that had written letters about Christians and persecuting Christians. The one guy called him Crestus instead of Christ. But they said there's something going on. They thought it was maybe another sect of Judaism. But his even though Jesus was gone, his disciples were multiplying. Even today, God is multiplying disciples and saving souls. Amen? God is still at work. So faith is, I'm going to trust in God. I'm going to have hope in God. And even though I don't see everything working out exactly the way I want it, I'm going to trust God and his word. And I know he's coming back. I don't know when. We all wish it would be today. But he says, after you have suffered a little while, there will be tribulation, there will be difficulty. But he said, I've come that you might have peace, that you might have hope. And in the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. So faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Father God, thank you for the opportunity to share your word today. And I pray we're all encouraged. I pray your people are blessed. I pray that we're challenged. And let us not forget this faith that we have, it's not ours. It's a free gift that you gave to us. Bless the preaching this morning as I'll be preaching. Thank you for this unique opportunity. May you be glorified in our service. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.